Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Besides me. Joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is Scott Merkin of MLB.com. He covers the White Sox. He loves the Eagles as much as I do. And bless him for that. Happy Hanukkah, Scott. Thanks for joining us on The Score today.
Happy Hanukkah to you. Can I guess if I ever became a pro wrestler, which is beyond unlikely at this time, you need to have a pretty good back, among other things. That would be my entrance music. Take it easy.
Yeah, take it easy. That's really intimidating, threatening.
Well, it would be fitting of me as the wrestler. Here comes Merkin with the epidural from 2 years ago. Let's hope he makes it through this match.
That's your theme, being passive.
There he is.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe a manager. Maybe it could be a manager or something like that.
There you go.
Here we go. That's the Hell's Bells of wrestling coming right at you. All right, so we learned today that James McCann signed with the Mets. The Mets are signing everybody, and they signed a catcher that, it's not so much a surprise that he's gone. But what do you think this means for Lucas Giolito?
Well, Lucas Giolito, I think, is an accomplished kid who knows what it takes now to be successful on a year-to-year basis. You look back to Chris Sale. And Chris Sale for a 2-year period threw every pitch to Tyler Flowers, and they non-tendered Tyler Flowers one offseason, and Chris Sale was just fine the next year. So I get it. You know, James McCann, it wasn't just Lucas Giolito. And this is not taking anything away from Yasmani Grandal, who's an excellent catcher and a definitive starting catcher, one of probably the better starting catchers in baseball. But, you know, McCann resonated with that pitching staff. There is no question about it. And that was, he even had the year, you know, in advance that Grandal did when they weren't a winning team in 2019 to kind of work and develop with these guys. And Giolito will be fine. Giolito, you know, like I said, he's got his guy, his pitching coach, and that's really, that is a necessity either. Lucas figured something out after that 18 season, and it's really played consistently 19, 20. And, you know, I think, I was going to say you could put me behind the plate and he'd be okay. That's not true. But, I mean, he could, he'll do fine with whoever's back there.
Right, and it's not like Grandal is some, you know, 3 or 4 year guy. He's been around. He's a veteran catcher.
And he worked with Grandal last year, and I'm sure they're, you know, working together this offseason by Zoom or phone or whatever else it is, Twitch. And they'll be fine. You know, I mean, and this is the guy now. And you know, I mean, he knew that, you know, James McCann was going to get paid and deserved to get paid. James McCann has had, you know, two really solid seasons for the White Sox.
You know, let me ask you about McCann. Obviously, you know, Detroit kind of, I guess you could say, gave up on him, you know, wasn't really sure what he was. The White Sox bring in James McCann. He has that terrific first year with the Sox, and the Sox go get Grandal. And then McCann has another really good year.
Yeah.
did the Sox, did they misevaluate him a little bit? Do you think that they kind of thought the magic would eventually wear off and that he was just a backup catcher?
Well, it's interesting because McCann had a great first half in 19 and then kind of slowed down a little bit in the second half. And I think we all thought, okay, maybe he's not, you know, this level, but he's certainly not this level. He's somewhere right in between. But I also think that he just was fatigued by the end of that second half. You know, he did not have a lot of help behind the plate for injuries or whatever else reason that year. They caught him a lot of games. And, you know, I think in a regular catching situations where you're not catching, you know, too many innings or, you know what I'm saying, a normal load for a catcher, mm-hmm, I think he'd be fine. So I don't think they misevaluated him. I think they had interest in Grandal all along. You know, they went after Grandal. I got to keep these seasons together. They went after Grandal before the 19 season as well. So, I mean, it wasn't like they saw McCann slow down a little bit in the second half and say, we have to go get Grandal. I think they had Grandal targeted for that offseason when they believed, you know, going into 20 before the pandemic, that this was going to be the year they were going to take off. And they did take off, just in an abbreviated way.
Talking with Scott Merkin, covers the White Sox for MLB.com. We're doing it here on The Score. So this Lance Lynn trade, they do that before. Does Ricky Renteria look at it and go, I might still have a job if we'd have done this, so I had him in Game 3 in October?
You know, that's an interesting question on Ricky. You know, would it have, if they beat Oakland, would he have stayed on? If they had beaten Houston and gone to the LCS, would that have been, you know, a certainty? Who knows, really? But, yeah, Lance Lynn certainly would have helped in that Game 3 of the wild card series. Excuse me. And that's taken nothing away from Dylan Cease or Dane Dunning, who are just young pitchers who are learning. You know, I just wrote about Cease yesterday, and my goodness, you know, he's pitched two seasons for the White Sox, but he still has not made what would be considered a season's worth of major league starts. He has 26 starts in his career, and usually, you know, 30, 32, that's a pretty full season for a solid starter. That's a Mark Burley season right there. So, yeah, he would have helped. There's no question. I think that's why they made it a priority, because, A, you now have three really good pitchers at the top of your rotation, which is essential in any playoff series and essential in big games down the stretch. I thought Rick Hahn had a great comment the other day about, you know, incremental victories. You know, they're looking to win 95 every year, but they're looking just as much to win that one game down the stretch that they really need, you know, to put them over the top. And think about it, if they win one game in Cleveland, how different the postseason alignment looks. You know, and again, you can't assume everything plays out exactly the same way if they win one game in Cleveland, but if you just take the one game in Cleveland they win, they're the number two or three seed, and they're playing three games at home for the wild card series. They're not traveling all the way out to Oakland and everything else. So, yeah, I think, Lance, you know, you're at the point now with the White Sox where the rebuild is basically over. You're looking to contend, and they're talking, you know, World Series or bust. Frank Menachino, the hitting coach, made that comment. So you're going to have to give up, you know, good young players to get guys like Lance Lynn, and that's what happened in that trade with Dane Dunning going to the Rangers.
All right, so you have your obvious top three in the rotation, right? Giolito, Keuchel, and Lynn in whatever order. And then you mentioned the guy, Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease is the only guy that I would have penciled in as a starter out of that triumvirate of Cease, Michael Kopech, and Reynaldo Lopez. Because right. Do you think they're going to sign one more veteran to slot as the four or five guy?
I think it depends on their budget, but I think, you know, now countering that immediately, I think, you know, with all the non-tender free agents and everything else, there's going to be a veteran that you feel confident in that you don't have to, so to speak, break the bank to get him in there. So I think they do. I think they sign a guy who can start for a while and who also can slide back into the bullpen, maybe a longer relief role, and then come back and start again if necessary. But, you know, I think Kopech is great. Obviously, he's got great stuff. We saw him in the one game. I think it was the last game pitched before they shut down spring training, as a matter of fact, for the White Sox, and he was electric in the one inning, whatever that means. But, you know, the fact is he hasn't pitched in a while. He hasn't pitched in a big league game since, you know, Detroit took him out of the ballpark three or four times, and he had Tommy John surgery shortly after that. So it's going to take a little bit to get him, you know, back into, I think, even though he's been working right along, it just takes a while to get that back. So I don't know if he breaks camp with the team or gets a little minor league experience. And of course, this all depends on what the minor leagues look like and what the season looked like. But yeah, I would think right now, as we stand here today, Dylan Cease is the number four starter in that rotation.
And Crochet is a bullpen guy, at least to try, assuming he's healthy, like at least to begin the season or whenever his season starts, a bullpen guy? Or what do they see in him at this point?
You know, again, Mark, an interesting question, because he was phenomenal. And I saw a quote from Lucas Giolito, I think it was on some Twitch thing or an interview, where he said, you know, one of the most electric fastballs he's ever seen. And I talked to Garrett probably the beginning of November, and he said he felt fine. He said that soreness or that stiffness cleared up shortly thereafter. He's on a throwing program. He moved to Arizona so he could do his work regularly there at Camelback Ranch, you know, their spring training facility and now whole year facility. And it's, you know, it's an option. Do you go the Chris Sale route? You know, people forget sometimes that Chris Sale threw 79 games in relief his first 2 years before he became one of the best starters in baseball. So is that a good way for Crochet to learn? And I would say yes, because he will help you out of the bullpen. He will get to work with Ethan Katz and Kurt Hassler. They're not that the minor league guys aren't great, too, for the Sox, but you get to be around the other major league guys after you've had that taste ready. And you can still, you know, transform into a starter if you want, you know, 2-3 years down the line, which is what they haven't projected. But if I had a call, and I clearly don't, I would start him as part of the big league bullpen for 2021.
Scott Merkin of MLB.com is our guest here on The Score. Scott goes so far back covering the Sox that he remembers going into clubhouses and being able to talk to players by themselves. One of the people you're familiar with was Adam Eaton. He left here as a guy who was lauding Drake LaRoche as a 14-year-old leader in his own way. And he comes back. We will replay the interview he did with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel on Inside the Clubhouse, and sounds like a different guy. So what do you make of that move as part of Rick Hahn's idea of winning the margins?
I think absolutely different guy, and I think you would hope that, you know, everyone 4 years after the fact in any walk of life is a different person than they were before, although my two brothers would probably argue that I haven't changed a whole heck of a lot in the last 4 years. I'm not sure if that's good, or maybe I was already at the high level, so I need to change a whole heck of a lot. But I think, you know, you let him go out there and play, and he's got, I think, 803 OPS lifetime against right-handed pitching. That's something Rick and Kenny and, you know, Kenny Williams and everyone else in the front office talked about, needing a better balance. And, you know, at the very worst, if things, you know, and it's not really the worst, but you have a guy like Adam Engel who does very well against lefties and is another great defensive outfielder. So, I mean, you know, if you have an all-Adam platoon of Eaton and Engel, that's a pretty good combination out there, and gives you the financial wherewithal to make other moves. Maybe add another pitcher, maybe add another bat that can, you know, be sort of a versatile guy, but start at DH if you don't bring Vaughn up, Andrew Vaughn, to start the season. And, you know, most of all, add a closer in there to, you know, kind of supplement the back end of the bullpen there. But the more I think about it, I think it's a solid move. And, you know, I know Adam had a rough year last year. I think he broke his finger and missed, like, the last 10 days of the season. But, you know, I think last year was a tough year to evaluate anyone on in 60 games. And he was a prime contributor in the World Series run by the Nationals. So, you know, they envision him right now as an everyday guy. But I think even if you look at it at, you know, the kind of quasi-worst case scenario, you have a pretty good platoon in Eaton and Engel out there in right.
No doubt. And they just don't have a whole lot of need for more pop in the lineup. I mean, it's a great
line. I mean, that's the thing is, and not to interrupt you, Mark, sorry, but
that's all right.
You know, I mean, people are talking about, I mean, sure, George Springer would help any team, right? Trevor Bauer would help any team. That just goes without saying. That's just an obvious comment. But, you know, the White Sox are trying to spend smart, and they have a pretty darn good team put together already. You know, I mean, they have a lot of positions not only locked in, but locked down in terms of contractually. So, you know, like you said, there's a lot of good spots taken there, and then you can kind of just, I don't want to say fill in, but add what you need in terms of the big picture, as opposed, I mean, I suppose the other way they could have gone is just focused on one big guy that they thought would put him over the top and then fill in around him. But I think they're doing it, you know, a good way too, in that they're adding, you know, to quote Dave Wanstead, trying to put all the pieces in place for a championship run.
I love when you quote Dave Wanstead. and then real quick then, just to add on to that, where does that leave somebody like Andrew Vaughn? Does he become a trade piece? Does he become first baseman in waiting, DH in waiting? What becomes of Andrew Vaughn? What do they see in him, do you think?
No, he is definitely not a trade piece. I know that he's been asked about a number of times, and he is on the kind of pay no mind for asking about trades list. I think Kopech would be on that list too. And then, of course, guys like Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez and that kind of thing. But, you know, going by what Rick Hahn said, I think he's going to get a bulk of the work at DH this year. You know, one thing we really haven't asked Rick about, and it's something we can ask as, you know, the season gets closer, is it's a tough role to handle. You know, you talk to guys like going back to Adam Dunn, who was used to playing in the field every day and jumping to the DH role, and how it's difficult. It's not as easy as you think just saying, okay, I'm going to go hit four times and I'll be fine, because you're in a slump and that's really all you have to think about is the hitting. You can't do anything defensively. But I think, you know, when he comes up, he'll also be worked in at first a little bit with Abreu and give Abreu some days off at DH, because Abreu likes to play every day. But yeah, I don't think Vaughn's going anywhere, and I think Vaughn right now is going to be, you know, the primary DH at some point in 21, and then eventually when Jose, you know, retires, he'll be the first baseman for the White Sox.
Scott, appreciate your time today and your wrestling walk-up music of Take It Easy. That's terrific. Can you and your walk-up music come back on Christmas Day? I'm hosting a show, co-hosting a show with Bruce Levine, and we're booking all the Jews we can book.
It would be a true mitzvah for me to be part of that show, Steve. Well, I would love to do it.
Then we're going to do that. We'll load up the Eagles. We'll get you ready. Thanks. Appreciate it. Be
Sounds
well,
good.
Scott.
Take care, guys. Happy holidays.
Thanks.
See you, man. So you got the Christmas gig this year? Are you having John Paxson on? What's going on?
No, I'm having Bruce Levine on. We've done this before. We've done the 7 to noon. I know you've had your share of those shows. We did the 5-hour Christmas show before, and we're just going to book all the Jews. I'm going to put in a request for Missy Isaacson. We could talk about her book, State, which is a terrific book. And
is 5 hours long enough to get all the Jews on?
Now that I think about it, Rick Camp, maybe not. Maybe
Grobber.
We'll have to do
you
a
gotta
marathon.
Line up Grobber.
Right,
you
that's an hour.
Line up Grobber. Yeah.
That's an hour.
we'll book Danny Parkins. He'll be available.
That's 2 hours.
Yeah.
Parkins is our
he
most
and I
important
can argue
Jew.
About Matt Nagy. He and I He's can a, argue about yeah. Matt Nagy.
That's true. Well, he is such an important Jew at this station, so I don't think you're going to be able to get Parkins. We have to protect
VIJ,
Parkins.
A very important Jew. So
right.
He's
we
too
need
big.
To protect the Parkins. Yes.
Anyways, that's what we're doing. You start with the two Jews, and then we're just going to build. We're going to build from there.
I right, can't we'll wait to see that guest list, my friend.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break now. We're coming back with What Are You Doing, Wegner? And now that you heard the voice of Rick Camp, fresh off a recording of the I'm Fat podcast, Houston comes to town with a Houston player running down what seems like a Hall of Fame for a fat. And we'll run that by our fat as part of What Are You Doing, Wegner? Next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What are you doing, Wegner?
That's him. Thus. That's our segment. What are
That's
you
right.
doing, Wegner?
Let's do it.
And so this first one, and we are so lucky to now be produced by Rick Camp from the I'm Fat podcast. He and Jay Zawoski do a terrific job. And now they have merch. And they have spectacular merch. And seasonally perfect with St. Nick. And he shows his considerable Dunlop's disease as his belly, the Dunlop over his belt. And that's part of their merch. And Rick is here as we review something J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans said this week in advance of coming to town, coming to Chicago. He talked about Chicago food. This is why he was excited to play at Soldier Field. It's an incredible organization. It's cool to get a chance to play there. I mean, I grew up stopping at the Lake Forest Oasis and rushing Auntie Anne's and Subway and Panda Express. So he grew up in Pewaukee, which is right around Waukesha. So he was coming down here, and that's what he was rushing. Then I had Portillo's and Malnati's and some of the staples down there. I'm not going to lie. I looked up where we were staying in Chicago, and there's a Portillo's like half a mile away. So it's going to be pretty dangerous for me. I think Lou Malnati's is another half a block. My wife lives there now, so I've obviously got a lot of food in the area. Robert's Pizza and Dough. There's a whole bunch of good places to eat there. So it's going to be very difficult for me not to order with a delivery service. But I am looking forward to playing at Soldier Field. I wish they would just cut the grass a little shorter. That's all I'll say. We know Rick Camp doesn't care about the grass. He's not going to go grazing. Rick, evaluate J.J. Watt's food choices. And it sounds like he has to choose Malnati's or Portillo's. I don't think that would sit well with a fat.
I was going to say, that's a noob. That is a noob move right there. But, you know, I think it's a very J.J. Watt answer. But, you know, having enough institutional knowledge to placate to the local fan base. Because, really, that's what J.J. Watt wants to do. And luckily, whatever he decides, there's guaranteed to be a camera crew following him because he's J.J. Watt. So we'll see if he ends up with an Italian beef or a slice of deep dish or whatever. My hope is that someone photoshops the video from, I think it was Hard Knocks, of J.J. Watt in the dark, like standing in front of the jugs machine and just alternating beef deep dish, beef deep dish that he's catching. That's my goal. So whoever's out there, you work on that because I'm not technologically savvy like that.
I wouldn't mind seeing him size up the Lake Forest Oasis food court. I think that would be a deluxe move as well. And go, that Ann's place is the pretzel place, right?
Yeah. Annie Ann's is a pretzel and the Subway Sam Panda Express. With, yeah. But yeah, he's rushing the Lake Forest Oasis. That's just, that's priceless stuff. We're on our way from Pewaukee. We need to get halfway there. And yeah. Yeah, that would be good. I would walk him through a food court. But we could, I'm sure, wait, Rick, haven't you and Jay, haven't the I'm Fat podcast walked through food courts? Have you rated food courts? Have you rated food court offerings?
We have not.
Oh, huh.
So maybe we need to get a, we need to get like a video person. Maybe, you know, because Brian Gertz sure doesn't have an, enough to do already. We could probably steal him to, you know, follow us around. I mean, when we did the 0.3K, it was Jay's wife, Hope, that was in charge of the video for that. She probably wants to get Jay out of the house more, so I doubt she would do it.
Uh-huh.
What are the two, like, I think, when I think of a food court, I think of Sbarro, right? Uh-huh. Sbarro Pizza.
Yeah.
Probably
New
like
York
a
Chinese.
Yeah, a Chinese food place, like what? What's the Chinese food place that's usually in food courts? What's the one in the Prudential building? It's that.
Panda?
You know what I'm talking about? Panda, yes. Panda. Yes. Panda feels like a staple. And then either Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes or something like that. Those are the, that's where, I'm just giving you guys a place to start.
I've never seen either. I've seen Burrito Beaches in some of these.
Burrito Beaches, like, there you go.
Great Steak and Potato Factory. I'm pretty sure I have never seen outside of a food court.
That's true. That's a really good point. I don't know. Can you even go into a food court these days? I mean, with the way COVID is, can you even
I wouldn't.
That?
I wouldn't.
It's
kind of like a buffet.
I think you can at Ogilvy. I don't know how many places are. I haven't had to take the train in a while, but at Ogilvy, they have Popeyes. There's like a deli. There's a burrito place. There's Pizza Hut, which took over for Sbarro. There's Taco Bell, Arby's, McDonald's, Great Steak Potato Factory. And I think I'm missing something else. And a Subway on the other side.
Okay.
Just for credibility.
Right, we'll see how that normal, I think. Things get back to normal. I really think you guys should do food courts because you could. I can imagine you guys not choosing between Malnati's or Portillo's and doing both, and that's your appetizer and your main course. I just think that's what you guys do, whereas J.J. Watt's sort of sounding like he's choosing.
Oh, Cinnabon, by the way, that's another food court staple for sure.
Yeah,
or just mall staple. Cinnabon.
Yeah,
you can't go to a mall.
There's your fast track to diabetes. Hustle up.
So good.
All right. So also in Wegner, this was quite a week in history. 40 years ago this week, we learned of a legend being assassinated, and we learned of it in a football game. And here's the tape of that.
An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous perhaps of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. Hard to go back to the game after that news flash, which in duty bound we had to take.
Monday night football game, and ABC News confirmed it, and Howard Cosell told the nation that one of the Beatles had been assassinated, and that was 40 years ago this week. That was quite a thing. When sports was, there were a lot fewer choices. That's where you were going to get your news. I never thought I'd get news like that and get news from sports like that, but that's what
happened. I like how he leaned into dead on arrival. Dead on arrival.
Howard can lean into it. Howard could lean into it. And the way it was presented, it really was hard to say, wait, we're watching a football game. And it was such a different thing. One of the things, John Shakey Suntress, he had been a score guy, he's got score DNA, and he was a boxing chooch for us.
He did traffic
this.
For a while at BBM.
Yes,
yep,
exactly
recently,
right.
Actually, yep.
I love Shakey. And Shakey had Jakey said that was his generation's JFK. And I don't know exactly how old he is, but I did ask you and Trash Panda if you guys would agree with that. And neither of you would.
No, I mean, like, it just didn't resonate with me. I'm just a little bit too young. Like, Trash Panda wasn't born. I was a little kid when it happened. So it just, like, I just missed all that. Like, the Beatles, John Lennon, and that moment does not, I mean, I respect the moment and all, but it does not resonate with me.
Rick Camp, does that resonate with you? It can't. You're younger.
Younger than me.
No, yeah. I was born 5.5 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that was an interesting thing for Shaky to bring up. I didn't know where you'd have to be on that.
So what about you? Do you remember where you were and
I was watching the game.
Yeah.
I was watching the game.
How did that feel to you? I don't even know if you were a Beatles fan or what. I mean, I guess it didn't matter.
I always thought I was part of the it's the Stones. We hate the Beatles because we love the Stones. I didn't realize you could love all of it. But that was really stunning and shocking. And in my era, I grew up with Monday Night Football from start to finish with Dandy Don. And first it was Keith Jackson, and then it was Giff and
sure,
Howard.
I remember those guys.
But living through the start of it and living through people in bars throwing bricks through televisions at Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football. This was what the 70s was like when they did Monday Night Football. They were the Beatles, in a sense, traveling from game to game. And it was an unbelievable turn of events. And that was, it started in the 70s, and then this was the end of it with him announcing the murder of a Beatle. And when you look at if you read more about this, Howard Cosell and John Lennon were friends, had sat down with each other and had long talks. And could anything seem more improbable than Howard Cosell and John Lennon? But they were. John Lennon showed up at a Monday Night Football game in a press box in L.A. one time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Howard Cosell were friends. And
it's pretty amazing. Like, Monday Night Football, you're right. That was a rock star production. They've been trying to recreate that, I feel like, for about the last 15 years. You know what I mean? Like, trying to figure out what is Monday Night Football, any of the primetime footballs, or just Monday Night Football. They just have not been able to recreate that. And there's a lot of reasons why, but, you know.
All right, we have to cut Wagner short, but there's one piece of audio I wanted to get to. Baker Mayfield, who last week we played him. I'm loving Baker Mayfield more and more and more and more and more because he's become a post-game genius. And he's Zoom genius. So last week he had quoted a line, a Ron Swanson line from Parks and Rec. And
yes, he did.
This week there's something different, and here goes.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, then I don't do that.
That's Dwight Schrute. He's doing The Office. Someone is feeding him lines from great sitcoms, and he's just saying them. That was a Dwight Schrute line. And
Who was the White Sox player that used to do that with words?
That was Sale. Sale was given a word of the day, and he dropped it in there. It took more than half a season to figure it out. That'll give me something to talk to me and Bruce, something to talk to Scott Merkin about when the Jews gather on Christmas Day. When you're doing a 5-hour show, you talk about the dictionary. You talk about anything.
Sure. Just load up on Jews and talk about
That's
the dictionary.
Right. That's right.
Well, good luck to you, Steve. Good luck.
Jews in the news on Christmas Day. All right. We'll take a break. We come back. We have Adam Eaton. There was a new Adam Eaton. There was a new sounding Adam Eaton. We'll let you hear what he sounded like. Saturday Suckage, where he sucks so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in. Welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage, another suck extravaganza, is nearing an end. Mark, where can people hear you tomorrow?
Well, I'll be on the Scores pregame show tomorrow with Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Hub Arkish. They get going from 9 to noon. I'll be on in the 10 o'clock hour with my live hit from Soldier Field, giving you all the news of the day from Soldier Field and on the Bears and on Houston. And I'll also be part of the WBBM AM pregame show in the first hour, in the 9 a.m. hour, when I'll have a couple of pregame interviews that you want to hear with Cairo Santos, the Bears kicker, who's been excellent, and Jimmy Graham, the Bears tight end. So I'm all over the place. Just be on 670 and 780 tomorrow, and you can find me.
Right, 9 a.m., the Bet Rivers pregame show, presented by MailMedChicago.com, kicks off at 9. Hub Arkish, Owen Kreutz, Patrick Manley, Mark Grody. Listen live on 670 The Score and the radio.com app. Get the latest on the inactives, the key to the game, all the Bears news. There was some White Sox news today, and it was in the form of an Adam Eaton interview on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. And it was a different sounding Adam Eaton than the one who years ago called Drake LaRoche, a 14-year-old leader in his own way. So as we say goodbye and we take you up to the Army-Navy game play-by-play at the top of the hour, we'll bring you a replay of the Adam Eaton interview done on Inside the Clubhouse on The Score today. Thanks for listening.
I'm excited to be back in the city of Chicago, but what a turn of events. Like you said, almost 4 years to the date. I think it's even 3 years to the date even before that. It seems like all this always happens between the first week and a half of December. And like I said, pretty crazy turn of events to be able to, be traded, won a World Series kind of according to plan. And the White Sox, of course, have had, according to their plan, to be able to rebuild and have some power arms and really be able to put themselves in a position. And then, like I said, as crazy as it sounds, to be able to sign back and play with the players that I was originally traded for to rebuild and to be in a really good position, like I said, is very excited for me and very exciting, I think, for the city of Chicago. So, I'm excited to be able to come back and be able to play with a contender.
It was really fun to watch you as part of that Nationals team, Adam. Such a good team, such a well-balanced lineup. We had lineup envy as we looked, because you guys had sluggers, and then you had scrappy guys like yourself and young players like Robles and Soto. And you and Howie Kendrick had a thing. And some weird handshake thing you guys did in the dugout. But I know you've talked about that you learned a lot from guys like Howie Kendrick and Max Scherzer. What did you learn from those two guys that you have referenced a little bit?
Yeah, it's not just those guys. I mean, you can go to Yan Gomes, which him and I are similar in years in the big leagues, as well as Kurt Suzuki, Ryan Zimmerman, Steven Strasburg, Anibal Sanchez, Gerardo Parra. I mean, all those guys are just absolutely, some of the biggest veterans in all of the big leagues. And to be able to watch them work, to be able to, at the time, I was thrown into a position of leadership in the White Sox, and really wasn't quite ready for that position. And then, when I went to the Nationals, it was nice to be able to watch what, true leadership and true, professionalism, watch it work and watch the day-to-day and how they go about their business. And then to be able to, mentor Soto and Robles in the outfield, Stevenson, in the outfield, Michael Taylor was, had a couple years in the big leagues, but to be able to work with those guys and like I said, be able to learn from the older guys to be able to trickle down to the younger guys. It was something we had that was very special there. And that was the reason that I signed back with Chicago, because I feel like those type of building blocks are here now. You have the older group of guys. You have Lance Lynn now. You have the Grandal. You have those, like I said, those type of guys that are in position to have been there, done that. And you have a young nucleus with, like I said, Tim Anderson, which is not so young anymore. A young group of guys that are hungry and ready to play. So, I'm just hoping to, come in and contribute and help the club in any way, shape, or form.
What did you learn by playing for Davey Martinez? I know Davey has a lot of the same credo that Joe Maddon had when he worked with him, and that is let's go 1-0. And I imagine that type of philosophy really helped out on a daily basis when you guys were 19-31 in 2019 and looked hopelessly out of it as you attempted to go and then march on to a World Series.
Yeah, I can't really praise Davey enough. You know, we could talk for hours on how Davey approached our clubhouse, how he, you know, said things when things needed to be said and was quiet when things needed to be quiet. And you'd be surprised, you know, from the outside looking in to when you needed to be quiet and when things needed to be said. You know, he is very personable. But he's, like I said, very meticulous when he, you know, when he speaks, which is awesome, honestly. You know, I really enjoyed the couple years that I had with him. But yeah, 19-31 earlier in the season, and I think 99% of teams, not full by any stretch, we're all professional, and we all are going to go out and play the game and give it 110%. But to truly still have a belief. You know, we would have a meeting, and Davey would sit in, you know, in front of the meeting, and he would say, "Boys, you know, I know you believe in us, and you know that I believe in you, and we know that we have the talent here." And like I said, he'd go on, you know, it's one thing to say it, but to be able to hear it and actually truly believe it is a whole different, you know, retrospect. So to have the veterans we had in the clubhouse, to have the guy, you know, steering the boat and Davey, was huge for us. You know, to beginning to chip away, you know, like I said, 19-31 is quite, the mountain to climb. Yeah, you know, when you put yourself, that far back in a division that is, you know, arguably top, you know, 2-3 divisions in the big leagues, you know, in the top half, it's a really a tough division. So, like I said, a combination of the veteran leadership and, you know, Davey and Rizzo, again, believing in us. And Rizzo did not, you know, give away pieces when he really, maybe a lot of GMs would have and should have and would not have been, you know, cursed at to do so. So, like I said, just top to bottom, a great organization. And like I said, it showed 19.
It's Adam Eaton on 670 The Score. I remember when you arrived here in Chicago, Adam, that first, I think we were probably promoting Sox Fest. You came into The Score, did an in-person interview, and I was in studio with you, got a chance to know you and meet you then, liked you right away, scrappy, interesting guy. And to hear you now, it's fascinating. And it's great that you're letting people in on kind of how the game works. You know, people learn, they mature, they get around different kinds of teammates. It's a life cycle in baseball that's kind of fascinating. And with that in mind, you said that you felt kind of thrust into a position of leadership. What are some things that you tried to do that maybe it wasn't the right time for you to do in Chicago that feels like it is the right time perhaps now for you to be a part of?
Yeah, no, I think, when I was brought over here, especially in, I think, 14 is, you know, the guys that have the most time or the most experience usually try to grab hold of the younger guys and not grab hold of, so to speak, but you know what I mean? That you try to grab the attention. Hey, this is where we're going to go. This is how we're going to do it. And at the time, you know, I only set sail on a full season. I didn't have a full season really underneath my belt. I mean, I had a year plus in the big leagues, but it wasn't like I had, you know, 2 or 3 seasons played in the playoffs or had any experience. But, you know, you come in and you try to, you know, have that bedside manner to the point where you want to play the game the right way, and we want to be fiery. We want to, you know, enjoy it all at once. You know, I was just still too green, in my opinion. You know, but sometimes you have to take a couple steps back in order to take a few steps forward make some mistakes. I've made plenty of those in my career. You know, on and off the field, I've done some dumb things in order to learn. You know, as in any profession, I think, you know, it goes around where, like I said, you make those mistakes and you're better for it. So, you know, to be able to make some mistakes with the White Sox, unfortunately, in order to grow with the Nationals you know, really learn what it is to be, you know, a leader in the clubhouse and go about your work a specific way in order for the young guys to see. And like I said, I had a great group over there in order to learn from. And now, like I said, coming back, another great group we have. I mean, I can't express enough how excited I am to get with the group, the older group of guys that are there. And I know they're trying to instill the type of culture that, seems to work in the big leagues. And I know, like I said, through the grapevine of talking to Tony and Rick, that it is a completely different clubhouse, and guys are hungry to win. And like I said, are interested about it, one another. And like I said, all pulling in the same direction.
I can't imagine the satisfaction for you and the validation that it is of having Rick and Kenny and Mr. Reinsdorf wanting you back and pretty much putting into place the fact that they still believe in the same things in you that they did the first time they brought you here. And that was, you play hard, you play to win, you play for teammates, and that you still have the fire that they want to bring to this ball club. That must have felt rather good.
Yeah, it did. You know, as soon as I was, my option didn't get picked up, it was pretty remarkable. Rick texted me, hours after it was announced. So to be able to, reconnect with Rick, reconnect with Kenny. I haven't talked to Jerry, but to reconnect with Kenny, Rick, and talk to Tony all in a matter of a couple weeks after, the option wasn't picked up was nice.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.